Thank you for joining us for this session. We'll be discussing vaccine passports. Joining me on this panel discussion, two distinguished guests we're very happy to have with us. Dr. Michael Yeadon, who you've heard in the previous sessions, he'll be joining us as well. I might add that Michael Yeadon's experience in the pharmaceutical industry, 16 years with the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, has him well placed to comment on the issue of vaccine passports, because so much is riding on claims of efficacy and utility for the range of COVID-19 vaccines. And also joining us from Canada is Professor Michel Chossidovsky. He is a Canadian economist. He's also Professor Emeritus of Economics from the University of Ottawa. He is also President and Director of the Montreal-based Center for Research on Globalization. It is absolutely one of the web's most read websites over the last 20 years, globalresearch.ca, and he's the author of at least 12 books, including most recently the ebook, which is available 2020 to 2021, Worldwide Corona Crisis, Destroying Civil Society, Engineering Economic Depression, Global Coup d'Etat, and The Great Reset. Thank you for joining us, both Michael Yeadon and Professor Chossidovsky. I'm going to open with a statement, and then I'm going to go to each of my panelists to hear their opening statement on the issue of vaccine passports. Firstly, currently we are seeing an absolute acceleration of the vaccine passport stroke immunity passport agenda, previously derided as a conspiracy theory by the mainstream media not so long ago and met with repeated denials by government officials when posed direct questions from the media whether they plan to roll out a vaccine passport. That was only months ago. No, we would never do that. That would be undemocratic, was the official line not so long ago. However, we know that ministries were diligently working on multiple pilot schemes behind the scenes, tendering out contracts to various tech firms in anticipation of where we currently stand today, which is on the precipice of a globalized digital ID system, which will be used, among other functions, to enforce medical apartheid, and that is not an exaggeration or hyperbole, but also restrict the freedom of movement depending on which of the pharmaceutical products you've been injected with, or to perform a series of expensive, non-specific, non-diagnostic tests for the reasons of COVID-19 detection or biosurveillance. So, and that's for last year's respiratory virus. So this is exactly the situation which we are facing today. This is predicated what looks like more and more on a zero COVID policy, which governments like Australia and others are beginning to pursue. The Green Pass in the EU was quickly rebranded to an EU digital wallet, whereby each citizen will be given a digital twin through this new system. That is the vaccine passport. We also have the issue of vaccine borders for, quote, approved vaccines. And the International Association for Travel, Qantas Airlines, they are leading the conversation with regards to the implementation of this policy. And there's also pushback from places like the state of Florida, which has passed an executive order banning vaccine passports. Denmark, there's been some pushback as well, but more and more the concern, gentlemen, is that this will be passed by a type of a bureaucratic fiat, where it's almost like a fait accompli because certain countries are implementing it, that it just, you have to push it as policy on a corporate level. Firstly, I'd like to go to Professor Chossidovsky and to comment on this issue. I'll give you the floor. You have approximately 5 minutes. Go ahead. There we go.
Good afternoon. My name is Michel Chossidovsky. I'm absolutely delighted to be on this project and interchange ideas with our medical colleagues. I think we are living history, and this is by far the most serious economic, social, and political crisis in world history. It is not strictly a public health crisis. That we have to understand. And the instructions and the decision-making process is crucial to understand how the financial establishment communicates its decisions to independent governments. It's not Emmanuel Macron who is making the decision to implement the vaccine passport. It's his corporate sponsors, specifically the Rothschilds. I mean, he has been an employee of the Rothschilds previously. There is a power structure, and I don't think we can understand this crisis without introducing broadly the economic, social, and political dimensions. And that's what I've been doing for the last 14, 15 months, almost on a daily basis. I've been also publishing many of the people who were on the panel today, including Mike Yeadon, Sukrit Bhakti, Michael Palmer. Actually, the article went up this morning. It's getting a lot of hits. We're involved in counter-propaganda. And yes, that vaccine is a killer vaccine. We're going to wage that campaign. It's a killer vaccine, and it is not an error. It is the result of systematic lying, manipulation of the political apparatus of our countries from some financial, unnamed financial establishment. There are names. I don't think we should discuss the names, but we should acknowledge that this is a decision-making process, and it did not start in November. It started much earlier in the month of January. Now, as far as the vaccine passport is concerned, that is something which has been on the drawing board of powerful interest groups, including the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, and various other organizations as a public-private partnership, going back to 2016. It's called ID 2020. And it seems that ID 2020 was coincided with the onslaught of this crisis. There's been discussion within the World Economic Forum on how you could actually digitalize people, okay? How you can insert a microchip into their body, and then you have control over them. I don't want to get into the details, but Klaus Schwab, who's the founder and president of the World Economic Forum, has made those statements. And it says, yes, at some time in the future, we'll be able to digitalize, and we will have a link between individuals and the digital world, so to speak. So that we are really within the realm of digital tyranny, where people, a data bank of 7.9 billion people, that's the world population, maybe there's some exceptions to that, would be vaccinated, and then subsequently they would be given a vaccine passport, and they would be regulated. And that goes beyond any kind of political Nazi project that we have record in world history. I've lived through two dictatorships, Pinochet in Chile and Videla in Argentina, 76, the dirty war. I've never experienced anything of that kind. But I'd like to, if I can, take a few minutes to identify the timeline. It's a very complex timeline, which will exhibit the extent to which they are lies and fabrications right from the beginning. More of that will be contained in my ebook. But if we look back to January of last year, the first historical action on the part of the WHO was to call a public health emergency of international concern. Now, most people would say, oh, wow, we accept that. How many cases were they outside China? Population of 6.4 billion, 83 cases. There were more people who fell off their bicycle on that particular day. What I'm saying is, first of all, it was 83 cases of the invalid, now totally invalid, because the WHO has refuted it, of the PCR test. So 83 cases, they declared a public health emergency of international concern, which then unleashed a whole series of processes. The following day, Trump made his address, and he said, we're suspending travel with China based on the WHO advisory. And that, of course, led to the freeze of air travel, transportation, which we're still living, closing of borders. And obviously, there was a hidden agenda. It was to bankrupt the airline companies. Now, the second important date is the 20th of February. Now, the 20th of February, our distinguished Tedros goes, has a conference. You can check his exactly what he says. He says, we are at a very dangerous situation. The windows are closing. We're close to a pandemic. The pandemic is forthcoming, et cetera, et cetera. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially he warns against a pandemic. Now, what happens? The same day, following day, the most serious financial crisis in world history, certainly far more serious than 1929. And that is not the result of the virus. It is the result of criminal speculative inside trading, foreknowledge, corruption of the World Health Organization at the highest levels. Okay, I mean, they're buddies. I don't want to put names on this, but if we have to put names, Bill Gates has about 64% of his assets in equity and options. So obviously he made a bundle. And I have also analyzed all the increases, all the changes in the distribution of wealth, starting, of course, in February. But what happened in February? People lost their savings. There was massive redistribution of wealth. There was already a destabilization of the real economy. But the destabilization of the real economy comes on March 11th, which was called the lockdown. Neil Ferguson had his mathematical model predicting 600,000 deaths in the UK. It was all bloody fabricated. He got £2 million from Bill Gates to run that study. It's fabricated. It has absolutely no validity. We know that. And the PCR test, in any event, was flawed. Now, what happened? It wasn't Neil Ferguson that triggered the lockdown. It was actually a decision. It wasn't the World Health Organization neither, but they were obviously complicit, at least at the highest levels. It was a plan to close down the national economies of 192 countries, okay? Member states of the United Nations. Now, it's very simple and common sense. If you confine the labor force in their homes and you close down every single activity in your economy collapses, your public health system collapses, and that's what you're left with. This is a engineered process of fear and destruction. And the end game was the vaccine. The vaccine is based on lies, and it's a criminal undertaking. We have launched a campaign which is called Yes, the Killer Vaccine. It's the killer vaccine. It's not the killer virus. Now, that's another debate.
We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you in just a minute, Professor. Michael Yeadon, the vaccine passport is an issue. I want to get what you think are the most pressing aspects of this, either to refute the policy or what you think people need to know on this issue.
Yes. Okay. Well, first, I would say that this whole idea of a vaccine passport is nonsense. So really, really important. But I would say, if you really think you want to have a way of proving that you've been vaccinated, so you can show it to people and they can show it to you, for goodness sake, use something like an old rice paper bus ticket. Seriously, if you really want to show other people you've been vaccinated, carry around something like a bus ticket with you know, an old yellow fever vaccination card, because that will work, won't it? You'll be able to show people you've been vaccinated. What it won't do is tie up internationally through the world's first common format, interoperable electronic database that's got an editable, one or more editable fields, certainly to do with vaccination. That's what they want you to have. But like I've said, if you want to just show the shop that you've been vaccinated, you don't need that. You just need a piece of paper. So bottom line is, of course, these things are absolute, they're nonsense on stilts. I'm just going to describe a thought experiment that will prove to you that it makes no difference at all if you've been vaccinated. You're walking down the pavement outside and you're coming, you can see me coming towards you, you know, 20 yards away. I've got a thought experiment for you. Are you safer as we come closer to each other if you know that I've been vaccinated? Now, the answer to that question is no. Makes no difference at all. It's the wrong question. The question you should ask yourself is, do I look in good health? Am I coughing? Am I sneezing? Do I look hunched over? If I look in good health, I cannot possibly transmit a respiratory virus to you, regardless of what, whether I've been vaccinated or not vaccinated. And you probably don't know this, but there are at least 200 viruses that affect human beings, at least 40 of which can infect the respiratory tract. So why we're focusing on one that might even have come from a lab, who knows? Why are we doing that? And the answer is because it's nothing to do with the virus or your health. You do not need a vaccine passport. Go ahead if you want to get vaccinated. It's not a good idea and it's not necessary. It might harm you. You do not need a vaccine passport because it is a complete lie that you will be a safer person to be around or other people are safer to be around. The key question is, are they in good respiratory health? If they're in good health, it doesn't matter whether they've been vaccinated or not. They might have natural immunity or not. What they haven't got is a whole bunch of viruses in their airway that can spray all over you. So that's the point. It's a completely superfluous system, but you're being lied to again, like all of the lies. You're being told somehow you know, it's your responsibility to get vaccinated. Why? So you won't spray viruses over people. I've just told you, if you don't have symptoms, regardless of your immune status, you can't be a respiratory viral threat to anybody. Fauci said that. Maria Kirkovi said that. I'm saying that. The empirical research evidence says that. And your mother would tell you that too. You know, cover your mouth when you cough. So it's a complete nonsense. But I would just build, I don't know anything like Professor Shidakovsky's experience, but I remember reading Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World. And I remember listening to some talks he gave probably about the time I was born in 1960. And he pointed out that there are certain kinds of sort of dictatorial tyrannies that have a sort of natural life. If it's a political force or religious force or just a cause, people eventually can get tired of it and the weighing scale can tip. There's like a natural life to these things. They can be overcome. There's wear out, or you could like overthrow them in a political rebellion or civil war if you want. I'm afraid he pointed out, and I need to echo this to you, Huxley said, a scientific tyranny has no natural end. And I'm sorry, if you, listeners, if you allow, if you don't protest while you can, if you stand pat and accept your jab and your little electronic barcode, it's the end of human freedom forever. There's absolutely no way out of it, because what they will do, and you already know this when I tell you, it will provision and permission everything you do in life. You won't be able to go into Sainsbury's, Walmart, and buy your food without beeping your vax pass, I promise you. Let's say you later don't like what's going on. You're under vax pass world, vaccine passport world, and you don't like it, and you won't. There's no chance now. You can't, even if you rouse hundreds of colleagues, let's get rid of these vax passes. Everyone else in the street and will say, Mike, you're mad. I understand your objection, but if you want us to join you, we're all going to starve. We literally won't get any food. We can't get money out of the cash points. Whatever permissioning the tyrannical overlords want to apply, anything you can think of, they will do it. But here's the worst part. So we've got the Huxley situation that says, if you allow this to come into being in your territory, you will never get out from it. You'll literally never get out from it under it. So the decision you make to be courageous or not is going to affect your life, your children's life, grandchildren's life, and the rest of humanity. But it's something important to say as well. I noticed this when the industry, pharmaceutical industry, chose as vaccinations to use these gene-based vaccines. And I've talked at length about how I knew they were nowhere near prime time. When I left industry 10 years ago, they were laboratory curiosities. They didn't work very often. And the idea that in 10 years' time, you can suddenly bring forward an effective, safe, effective therapy, I knew that was wrong. I looked in the literature and there had not been the advances that I would have expected to have been heralded if they'd overcome four or five major problems. They haven't. So they've given you something which is not ready and as we've seen, is dangerous. Why did they do that? If they were just going to use the pandemic and the fear of it and make you line up and be vaccinated and then take a passport, if that was the only objective, you could just inject people with water and tell them that they were protected. And you wouldn't have any objections because no one would get side effects, would they? There must be another reason why they've done it this way. And I'm afraid I've drawn a very logical conclusion. They're going to use the same technology, gene-based something or other. And once the vaccine passport's in place, you will have no choice. Imagine you've got it in your hand, you're using it to get food, put petrol or gas in your car, get cash from the cash point, whatever it is, get on public transport. Ping, it says, Dr. Eden, turn up at your local medical center for your third vaccination, and then 6 months later, your fourth, and 6 months later, your fifth. If you later conclude that these things are actually slow bioweapons to sterilize or kill you, which I think it's going to be one or both of those, not much you can do about it at that point, is there? So I think what I call the humanity's event horizon, is close at hand. It's weeks to months away. And if that closes, it's the end of the species formerly known as free human beings. So I'll shut up at that point. But this is why I've left my home with my wife and traveled halfway across the world, leaving my family behind, because I'm going to do what I can to see if we can stop this. I wouldn't say I'm terribly optimistic, to be honest, but I feel I'm doomed anyway, and I might as well just keep telling you. It's like holding a machine gun in the face of an overwhelming foe. I'm going to keep my finger on the trigger until the clip empties, the gun jams, or I go down. Okay, so that's why I'm here.
I don't think that's an exaggeration, Michael. No. That we're at an inflection point. The human race is at an inflection point. That's not a hyperbolic state. That's not an exaggeration. And I am with you absolutely on that. Professor Chosudovsky, just briefly, we got time for a brief comment, 2 minutes each. The nature of this, the vaccine passport, you've studied despotic regimes very closely all around the world. And so what is it with this crisis? There's a globalized aspect of it that could only be enabled through technology, but are all regimes, all governments, have they seen the light that they can use this crisis, this technology, vaccine passports, in order to control their population? And are most governments opting into this? Or how are you viewing this as a globalized phenomenon, briefly?
Let me say, I fully concur with what Mike Eden has stated. It's a frightening perspective. But I should say there are several dimensions. On the one hand, every single country on the planet has accepted the vaccine, except three. And just so happens all those three heads of state, heads of government, mysteriously died. The last one was, Juvenel Moïse of Haiti. Okay, it was the only country in the Western Hemisphere. I'm not drawing any, conclusions, but what it means also is that all these countries have obeyed the consensus. They have obeyed the consensus. They've also obeyed the lockdown. And that means that democratic governance, as we know it, simply disappears. Now, Cuba, I've just looked at countries after countries with the economies are destroyed. and the governments are totally inept. They are the victims of creditors which come in and lend them money and so on and so forth. But I think we have to then start saying, how do we tackle this from a, you know, as a counter propaganda? And I think we have to think through how the campaign should be articulated. We have to break the consensus. We have to break the consensus. That means we have to reveal the lies. The lies are there. The lies are so blatantly obvious. Eh? People are dying from taking the vaccine. We've got the figures. In some cases, those figures are manipulated, or they're not distributed to the broader public. We have all the evidence about the collapse of the global economy, unprecedented. I'm an economist. Economists are who do not recognize the role of this crisis in spearheading a global recession. I think I would question their understanding. We're not in a multidisciplinary perspective. We have to be interdisciplinary. This global crisis at the level of the planet is an economic project. It's there to bankrupt, to destroy. Small and medium-sized enterprises are wiped out, whole sectors of national economies, and the whole decision-making process, which we've lived through historically, of governments exercising functions that, if we don't act to break this consensus, I think we are in a situation. David Rockefeller said years back, the late David Rockefeller, who incidentally came to Argentina right during the Dirty War, okay? And Kissinger came to Chile. I know that because I was there. But the thing is that what he says is that we would like to have global governance, which is an alliance between intellectuals and bankers, or elite intellectuals and bankers. That is what is happening. That is what is happening. The bankers are controlling the intellectuals, the Drostens and the Neil Fergusons, et al. Are complying and providing them with justification. We have to break the consensus. And I would say, just I know we're limited for time, we've launched a campaign which is called Yes, the Killer Vaccine. Yes, the Killer Vaccine. Okay? It's a killer vaccine. And I think we should, that is one, but I mean, the lockdown is also another aspect. The whole question of what happens now, are these bankrupt firms going to be rehabilitated? No, they're going to pick them up at a negative price. So we
just
have
just 2 minutes left. I want to, pardon me, Professor. I want to go to Dr. Yeadon. So, Mike, the consensus, a big part of the consensus is the belief that the vaccines are effective and that the vaccines are safe. That underpins the need for a vaccine passport, which is clearly the vaccine passport is designed to increase uptake, I would think, in vaccination levels. It's a type of coercion. But your final comments on this, we just have 2 minutes left. I'll give you the floor, Dr. Okay. Yeadon.
Yeah, no, certainly. The vaccine passports, I think, are the entire objective. They are the event horizon. They are the gate between free humans and what lies beyond that. And I can't know all that will happen beyond that. I certainly think it can be used, and I think it will be used to reduce population. And I think there's a narrative here, because people have asked me, if you're even vaguely right, Yeadon, why are people going along with this? Well, one, I would say most people, they're not really given a choice. They're given the narrative and they can't really argue with it. But there'll be some people who are close enough to power and smart enough to figure out that it isn't quite as they're said. And I think an avuncular arm goes over their shoulder. And this is the story. You do know, don't you? We've been trying for decades to attenuate the harm humans are doing to the global environment, to the atmosphere and biodiversity. You know that, don't you? We've been trying so hard, but we think there are far too many people carried on the planet for it to sustainably be like this. So what we're going to do is, force people to be in a position where we can greatly reduce their carbon footprints. So that's it'll be something, they'll be told something like that, as benign as that. And it could be, of course, it's non-democratic, but we've tried the democratic methods and they won't work. So you're doing God's work. History will smile on you. You know, we have to do this. It's tough. Once we've gone through the transition, it'll just be an ordinary life, but you'll just get used to, you know, this beeping passport, rationing what you get. And the trouble with that is all of the steps required to get to that point are exactly the same steps as they would be if when you just push open the gate and in fact, the other side, in fact, is not the Great Reset world, but hell. We're at the gates of hell. And I think that's the story. I think that's the story that the gullible have been sold. And I think that's why we've had just excessive focus on global warming for the last few years. So there might be a problem in the long term, but I think this is not the solution. I think there are plenty of other solutions. But I think our lords and masters have decided that we're burning up their non-renewable resources and they'd rather kill me. So that's what they're going to try and do. And they will do
I think that's a great jumping off point for another discussion, which is how this issue, the COVID crisis, the vaccine passport, dovetails perfectly with the World Economic Forum's plan for a new Great Reset and the financialization of nature, et cetera, the climate agenda. It's a great jumping off point. Perhaps we'll expand on that in a future event. But gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us for this discussion on vaccine passports, Dr. Michael Yeadon and Professor Michelle Chosadovsky from Canada. Thank you very much for joining us. And stay tuned for the next session, Reviving the Nuremberg Codex. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen, for this session. And stay right there, and we'll transition to the next session.